Good afternoon, everyone. Everybody having a good time here in Tech Ed? Yeah! Good. Everybody had a good lunch? Yep, really good. I'm pretty much having also a good time here, especially in this Texas weather. I came from Seattle, moved there from LA 9 months ago. I'm having also a great time here, especially with the sun out right now. Yeah. So, a bit of a background about myself. First, I'm Ivan McAlintal. I just joined Microsoft 8 to 9 months ago. I came from an anti-malware internet security company, Trend Micro. Pretty much we're dealing with one of my groups of responsibilities is make sure that Microsoft release files are not being used by the bad guys or are not being weaponized by cyber criminals. Okay, so moving forward, let me see. Just a bit of a background also of our team. It's called the Product Release and Security Services. In the beginning, it was in 1996 or so, it was called as PRS or Product Release Services. Well, 2 years after that, if you know Randy Abrams, in the goal of protecting Microsoft customers, as I mentioned a while ago, he introduced the anti-malware scan team. Basically, it's a malware scanning service in the product release space, thereby establishing our team, the anti-malware scan team, under the developer services. So as I mentioned a while ago, one of our main mission is to ensure that all Microsoft release files, all Microsoft release files are end applications, programs, which I will discuss later in succeeding slides, should not contain malicious code or would not be flagged by anti-malware engines or products as either malware or even false positives. Basically, we ensure that Microsoft files are not or will not be weaponized, as I mentioned a while ago, by the bad guys, so to speak. Another update is after a couple of years, 2001, we established the virus checking service for our product groups. And it's kind of like an online portal where product groups can submit their applications, developers can submit their binaries for us to check, verify, and determine if they contain erroneous or malicious code that can be weaponized further if once they're released out there into the public. So in 2006, 2009, some of the improvements were also presented in some of the mainstream anti-malware security conferences like Virus Bulletin, AVAR, by our colleagues Jonathan Poon and Ian McMillan. Once I onboarded last year, I also presented some updates, but now focusing on threat intelligence, the metadata as I'll be presenting later on. That was in B-Sides, Redmond, 2013. I think it was December, if I'm not mistaken. So the presentation in B-Sides was called Operation Dead Panda. It was just a spontaneous title that we had to put in because of the, as you know, some of the ongoing attack campaigns are known as our panda name. Like Aurora or some of the panda-themed attacks out there. But in this case, we called it as Operation Dead Panda because there were no attacks involved. There can be possible attacks if we do release Microsoft files that can be weaponized by the bad guys. So we kind of nipped the attack by the bud, so to speak. This was also presented in Digital Crimes Consortium recently. Pretty much also focusing on the metadata that I'll be presenting later on. And this presentation has more updates and more real-time case scenarios, so to speak. So what does the team actually process, or what kinds of files? As I mentioned a while ago, everything goes into our pipeline. So what kinds of files go through our pipeline? Basically, we process Windows files. operating system files, DLLs, executables, everything, even images. We also process Office, even Visual Studio, Dynamics, Exchange, SQL Server, Xbox One, not the previous Xbox, but Xbox One, okay? Skype, even Windows Phone apps and apps you find in the Windows Store. Okay. Well, aside from the aforementioned product group releases, we also, some of the jobs that go through our code signing team also go through into our pipeline. So we're thinking of signing or scanning files to be released, but are now code signed with the Microsoft signature, as well as submissions via the VCS portal I mentioned a while ago. So just a continuation of what our team does. So as I mentioned, product release files, code sign files, files submitted through VCS. Our infrastructure is spanned globally into different regions. Pretty much, as I will be presenting later in a later slide, you'll see the vast amount of systems that we have there. And I'll also be presenting the process involved in our infrastructure. But basically, I won't focus more on all of the process because some of these are what you might call TLP Red or HBI, pretty much confidential. But I'd like to focus more on these steps in the process of how we process the files coming into our pipeline. So you see there a pre-job, wherein we validate the jobs or the files submitted to us, you know, get data from submitters, what kinds of files, et cetera, et cetera. And then you can see there the explode part, which I emphasized there. We see this as a critical aspect of the process that we go through because we have to really go down multiple levels of file explosion. We call that exploding. And then we break down the files into the smallest file atomic file unit possible. We use this, we're using multi-thread technologies. And then we also scan. I mentioned a while ago, we're using multiple anti-malware scanning engines. And these are processed in parallel. And then, of course, we have the post-release stage. As you can see here, there's a pre-job and the post-release stage where we gather the data, the metadata that will be that we see as very critical, especially in this presentation I'll be discussing later on. Speaking of data, aside from the numbers or data being nice to see in presentations, right? Here are some numbers for your perusal. Anybody can have a wild guess on what these numbers are? So basically, 2,000 plus, we have dedicated workstations and servers, as I said, mentioned globally, spanned in different regions. We scan more than 500 products go through our pipeline, Microsoft products. At a regular rate, we see 1.73 billion files on a regular day-to-day basis per day. All in all, we see now there should be something like 2.60 or 65 trillion files in all. And the system recognizes 400 file formats out there. We also use 100 file tools or file type decompressions by the use of 30 tools. And the last number there is what I call pretty interesting. These are the metadata gathered from Windows 7 files. Well, you may remember these examples of recent high-profile attacks. Anybody remember this Target breach last year? Cool. I hope nobody got really affected by that or compromised. So, happened in 2013. 40 million or so credit card, debit card account details were compromised. It started with a spear phishing campaign, as you know. The payload was Citadel, or a variant of Zeus, of the Zeus malware. It started stealing these account information, wherein the attackers were eventually able to go into the system, compromised system, eventually leading to the target accounts being stolen and being sold in underground forums for $20 to $100 per card information. Next is the Heartbleed. Of course, anybody, almost everybody here knows about the Heartbleed threat that happened recently. But one particular offshoot of this threat is the Heartbleed in Android systems and Android apps reported by FireEye last April. And then, of course, we also read about or have experienced or seen the recent Internet Explorer Zero Day. So what I'm mentioning here is all of these threats, all of these cyber attacks, pretty much the investigation analysis was successfully done using a really vast amount of threat intelligence out there. And of course, one of the good things that happened is Microsoft released a patch even for XP users, even after announcing that we won't be fixing or including XP for the patched OS systems. So what is threat intelligence basically? I assume most of you know about this, but just want to run this down. These are just not the malicious files, URLs, or websites. Email samples, IP, IP net blocks, malicious IP, malicious IP net blocks, DNS, Intel, ASN, BGP. Well, these are not also even the email addresses used by the bad guys or the email addresses used by malware attackers, malware writers, or email addresses used by criminal actors registering criminal domains. Aliases, we also track that as well for threat intelligence. We also look into web forum accounts and other social networking site accounts like Facebook, the Facebook the bad guy, or LinkedIn profile even. Well, a common acronym is, of course, these are called what you might wholly call as threat intelligence. And a common acronym is, of course, as you may know, indicators of compromise or IOCs. So, and these threat intelligence are being shared in various ways within the community, such as industry and community exchanges, mailing lists or forums, wherein there are public mailing lists out there. Hello, full disclosure, FD, I love that. There's also some other private mailing lists where the discussions are more private and focused on specific attack campaigns. There are free web services such as VirusTotal, malware domain list. I assume there may be others out there that you guys are using, and other open source. Sources of intelligence like anti-malware and security blogs out there, and many more. Okay. So there are also, of course, much more formal and standardized avenues of threat intelligence. Anybody familiar with STICS? Anybody? Or this is the Structured Threat Information Expression? How about the taxi from MITRE? Or there's also the IODF, which is the Incident Object Description Exchange Format. And also the recent one is the CIF, or the Collective Intelligence Framework. Okay. So that's basically some current state of affairs in threat intelligence. And moving forward, there is another kind of threat intelligence that may be missing from the big picture. And this is what we call as clean file metadata intelligence. So just to run this down, there's an increasing demand in the industry for clean file metadata intelligence, and Microsoft is taking part in this effort in jumpstarting this process, this service to supply and provide this value to customers, partners, and the overall security community in Microsoft. Well, the idea of clean file metadata intelligence is something relatively new, yet unexplored, well, in greater depth. Some beginnings of it is seen in traditional anti-malware whitelisting efforts and application security efforts, but it can be much more than that. In the words of Ma Born and Kim in their book, The Blue Ocean, clean file metadata intelligence is a blue ocean. Something like this one. Nice. Anybody want to go there? Yeah, I just have to include the slide. I really want to go there. But yeah, anybody know where that place is? It's in the Philippines, Palawan. But back to reality. Going back to what I previously discussed about our team's mission and goals, Microsoft files coming into our pipeline to check, analyze, and flag for possible codes that can be weaponized, that can be used as a malware, or that can be flagged as a false positive. And coming from a previous day job where I see malicious files every day, now, in my current job right now, it is the exact opposite.
So, just like what I mentioned, pretty much it's a blue ocean field. Clean file metadata intelligence has not really been explored yet in depth so far. And pretty much from my side, from my past experience of seeing bad files every day or bad artifacts every day, right now we're seeing good files every day, so to speak, which is basically why we have the expertise and the experience to basically discover this in depth more and provide this value, this service value to Microsoft customers and our common customers as well. So moving forward, what is clean file metadata intelligence?
So basically, it's intelligence coming from clean files that coming into our pipeline versus the evil files, the traditional malware files or URLs that we see, or email artifacts or other attack artifacts. Instead of the information data or metadata coming from bad files, Why not clean file metadata? So we can have data in the form of original product names, the clean files themselves, file hashes, which include the other of the known traditional hashes, MD5, SHA-1, SHA-256, CRC32, so on and so forth. We're also looking at SSD, for example. File sizes, file names, dates of file creation, and dates of when the files were released. We're also looking at digital metadata about digital certificate information, and also geolocation or distribution data for the files, for the Microsoft release files. We're also looking at SWIDs, including SWIDs or the software ID, software IDs. So, This is an example of what we have for, it's a POC, a proof concept for what we generated from, just an example of what the clean file metadata looks like. It's an XML format, and as you can see here, there's the metadata fields that I mentioned a while ago, the hashes, the product names, the file name, file size, so on and so forth. What are the benefits, you might ask? One of the benefits of clean file metadata intelligence, of course, it complements traditional blacklisting efforts. or anti-malware efforts. As it is known in the industry, especially in the anti-malware industry, in this area of security, we see false positives having the same damaging effects as malware, sometimes even more than. So you see effects of false positives and effects of malware. And as I mentioned a while ago, the effects can be sometimes even greater than the effects of malware. Consider this. So these are past reports where false positives did create some damage, some global huge damage in customers out there. Pardon me for including this, but I'd just like to make a point here. So there's some false positives by Symantec before, McAfee as well. It breaks it broke entire PCs worldwide. Sophos detected its own update. There was also a Kaspersky dodgy update that was literally created damage in some of the government institutions we have. But going back, there are a number more reported and sometimes even, I assume, unreported. But fortunately, these are seldom happening anymore because of the great collaboration we have in the industry, especially within the security community. And using an authoritative list of clean file metadata can help in this ongoing effort. Well, another is mitigating or analysis or investigations of Trojanized Microsoft files. An example would be, Trojanized, infected, patched, modified. What I basically mean here or refer here is files, Microsoft legitimately even signed Microsoft files being infected or the codes are being altered for nefarious purposes. An example would be, it's the same potato. So an example would be the common file autorun.inf. Everybody here remember the Configer worm years ago? Okay. So basically this is, as you can see here, I've included here the exact autorun int file used by the Configer worm, by the Configer threat. And as you can see here, there's, let me see here. If you can't read it, so basically the Configer worm, the author included this autorun.inf file, making sure that the malware is run from the system32 and also a copy in the recycled bin, in the recycled folder. If we have an authoritative list of, say, these autorun.int files, we can use to cross-reference and counter-check suspicious files running or found in a customer environment, that would be great. So basically, these are the current clean autorun.inf files. It's an authoritative list. Oh, sorry. It's not a complete list of the known clean autorun.inf files, but it's a start. And we can do a cross-reference check on whether or not these autorun.inf files found in a system is indeed compromised, patched, or otherwise. Another example is this. Pretty much I've seen this since last year. Is the msvcrt.dll file. Pretty much it's being used in some recent, pretty much it's been ongoing for a couple of years now. Recent cybercrime campaigns using the infamous DNS changer Trojan, or what we call the TDSS or TDL4. So it's the file is a part of the Microsoft C runtime library, and as I mentioned, it's being used in a cybercrime campaign, DNS changer, also called Allurion, by the way. The original codes have been patched to go to, you know, to perform something bad in the system, and as you can see here, these files are signed by Microsoft. But because of the codes being modified, because of the binaries being patched, these are detected by antivirus or anti-malware vendors out there. Oh, it's taking so long. Okay, and to even show more the value of clean file metadata, here's a snapshot list of patched evil files, MSV, CRT.dll files. As you can see here, there's the taller list. There's a lot more. But going down through our database, the three good MSV CRT files are just three of them. So basically, if the hashes are not part of the good file list, it may or can be evil. Okay, I'm saying this: clean file metadata is not a one-off solution, but it can definitely help in mitigating this threats. So as you can see here, those XML records are for the clean msvcrt.dll files. All part of the path is system 32, and it's all part of the distribution files for Microsoft Windows. And to get a glimpse of how many patched clean binaries that may be out there in the wild, being used out there in current cybercrime campaigns, here's a snapshot from VirusTotal. There's more than 3 million files that are patched, binaries, clean files that are patched, binaries to being used by the bad guys for furthering their nefarious purposes. Well, I must remind you, but pretty much this can be this is not accurate, but it can serve as a glimpse of the rampant abuse in clean binaries. Another thing that I pretty much personally what I like the most in the benefits of clean file metadata is this one is what we call DLL side loading. The difference, basically it also uses Microsoft files, but the difference is whereas for the infected or the patched Microsoft files out there, which really point to malicious code or really contain malicious code, DLL side loading pretty much is doesn't contain malicious code at all. So it's another way of attackers for circumventing current anti-malware or other security products' efforts to protect customers. It attempts to bypass traditional anti-malware efforts. You may have read published reports about this in from Norman, Trend Micro, Symantec, even FireEye. Targeted files from, so what I'm referring to is, but these are not just targeting Microsoft files. These are also using legitimate clean signed files from NVIDIA, McAfee, or now Intel, even Trend Micro. And I have listed down here at least three files that were abused by targeted attack or what we call APT attackers. These are all legitimate clean Microsoft signed files, rc.exe, msidb, and oinfo11.p.exe. So what is DLL side loading? So basically, using the PlugX payload, it's a remote access Trojan. So basically, this the campaign started as a spear phishing attack laced with an evil attachment. It's exploiting CVE 2012-0158. So it drops a file named as EWS.exe, and then it drops the clean Microsoft file. So the package contains oinfo.p11.exe, as well as OCX or DLL file named oinfo11.ocx, and a binary blob pretty much a non-executable binary blob named as oinfo11.iso. So what happens is, the executable file drops the DLL file, and then the DLL file decrypts the binary blob in memory and runs that executable from memory as well. So there's no file trace out there for AV scanners to catch. So what happens is the decrypted binary blob now running in the system, the executable, is the PlugX remote access Trojan that we're discussing. So another aspect of a DLL side loading is I've looked into the specific exe, the oinfo p11.exe, the clean one, and here are some metadata that might be of interest. So as you can see here, it's part of the Office 2003. It's in the National Software Reference Library. Also, as I mentioned a while ago, it's assigned by Microsoft last 2003. And the validity was from May 25th to November 25th, also the same year, 2003. But the one thing that's glaring here is the attack. The PlugX remote access Trojan targeted attacks happened in the first half of 2013. As you can see here, there have been newer versions since. We can use this knowledge as an additional data point in protecting customers from this attack technique by so-called APT attackers, not to mention another investigative detail on that specific Microsoft clean file that was used. Another thing is software piracy. Software piracy is a menace for Microsoft and as well as for other vendors, and it's leading to brand and reputation compromise, and of course, loss of income or possibly some tax issues on the side of the vendor. What's scaring me the most is pirated software can lead to exploitation and even malware compromise, which eventually lead to the system or the user being owned. What if we have an authoritative manifest in the form of clean file metadata of shipped and installed software? Can this help? Again, clean file metadata is not a one-off solution for this, but it can greatly contribute to alleviating this anti-piracy in these piracy campaigns. Some of the stuff that we've seen is piracy campaigns is during a recent anti-piracy investigation. So for users using pirated Windows XP and Windows 7, the laptops were purchased in different cities in a specific country. It's all with pirated Windows, as I mentioned. And the malware scene where pretty much it can really boil down to having the system and the user information being compromised. So you can see there's a malware C3. It downloads, includes a rootkit functionality, and it can also download making the PCs a zombie in a botnet. There's also a well-known remote access Trojan named the Hoopigon or Gray Pigeon. There's also a NITOL where the infected or compromised PC can be made part of a DDoS attack on certain targets. There's also Fly Agent and so on and so forth. There's also some adware, spywares there. I don't know if you've come across those adwares or spywares, like Open Candy or Start Page, so on and so forth. Using clean file metadata intelligence is as part of the arsenal of overall threat intelligence effort. It will be awesome to nail down these kinds of questions in investigations. So what kinds of questions? So something like, what are installed in the user's customer system? when, where, and who. So when it was released, when it was installed, where was it downloaded from, where was it installed from, where was it shipped, distributed, so on and so forth. And eventually to the who created and who released, who shipped, and actually who distributed a specific file or files in a certain region. But using clean file metadata intelligence is can definitely help in this. It's kind of like a whodunit. So add to that the magic words of big data, analytics, and the cloud, we get really cool stuff. So I'm just including here some interview snippet from one of our esteemed colleagues from the Digital Crimes Unit, Brian Hurd, where he mentioned threat intelligence and big data analytics and the cloud. So, you know, cyber criminals and cyber criminal groups or organizations or cabals are using their own kinds of intelligence, big data analytics, and the cloud as well for their nefarious purposes. You know, let's use this as well to fight them off in protecting our customers. And speaking of whodunits at this point, I'd like to share some paragraph snippet from a fave traditional British whodunit author. So it's from the Murder in the Orient Express book, if you've read about it. The usual question in whodunits is, out of all the suspects, which one is guilty? But now we're dealing with the question is of which one is innocent. Because basically, if we spot the innocent one, of the case, like, for example, in the case scenarios I recounted above, the innocent one is the one we're after, actually. And this one can also pertain to what we are seeing now in... what we're seeing now regarding clean file metadata intelligence. So now here we see the value of a missing piece, actually, as I mentioned a while ago, in the overall schema of threat intelligence. So we see here is the overall threat intelligence diagram, and that's the overall threat intelligence, and we see here the clean file metadata intelligence. Clean file metadata intelligence is A, if not the missing piece in cybercrime investigations, and Microsoft, through the team's expertise and the day job functions, we see this as an enabler in the community in providing this service to the community and Microsoft customers. What's happening? So what's currently available right now? So Windows 7 and XP metadata are now available. As you see here, we're still providing the Windows XP metadata. Pertaining that it's an authoritative manifest coming from Microsoft. It was shared already with the anti-malware industry as a proof concept before, and it's a part of the IEEE CMX. CMX means the Clean File Metadata Exchange. So we're now looking at it's an ongoing effort where we need to establish these kinds of intelligence, not only coming from Microsoft, but other security vendors as well. It was presented last year in, that one is AVAR 2013. Now it's still not yet fully automated, but we're working on it. And of course, signed off by legal. Microsoft is a pioneer, as I mentioned a while ago. It's already started sharing metadata via IEEE CMX and also working with other security vendors who needs the data. The first metadata shared by Microsoft was just this month. Last week. These are the examples of the metadata shared via the IEEE CMX format at the portal. These are samples of the metadata uploaded for sharing as well in via a shared destination. this is just the disclaimer that Microsoft put in, because we have to be also careful of misusing the data that we share. So we have included that these are shared as is, and you can use it as is as well for your own purposes. So what's coming next? We're working with the TWC, Trustworthy Computing Group, the Security Response Center, and the Malware Protection Center, if we're going to include this in the current Microsoft programs like the MAPP or the upcoming CME, the Collaborative Malware Eradication Effort. Windows 8 and 8.1 will be forthcoming as well. Also, we're looking at also including, of course, Office, Visual Studio, and the hot fixes and patches, you know, the out-of-band patches that Microsoft releases. We're looking more for more automation and more real-time, so much so that if, for example, Microsoft releases a file this week, the metadata will be available like some hours before, or days even. More metadata types, digital certificate data will be included, location data, as I mentioned a while ago, SWIDs, and more telemetry and correlation. And also, we're looking also to provide, make available a portal wherein it can be, the whole clean file metadata intelligence can be gathered or can be used. And of course, we're also working with vendors and other partners. As I mentioned a while ago, this is not really a wholly Microsoft effort, but we're also looking at other security vendors. We're working with them. It's also a call for action, actually, for others like Adobe or Firefox to be part of this effort as well. So that's we're at this point, if you have some suggestions or questions, best practices, feel free to speak up. That's it. Thank you.